local.
Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
In an hour, we will give away at 1 p.m. We will give away a pair of tickets to see Eddie Griffin. Live Nation has teamed up with Sactown Sports to hook you up with tickets to check out comedy legend Eddie Griffin live at the Hard Rock Sacramento April 13th. Hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m. We will tell you what caller we are looking for to win a pair of tickets to check out Eddie Griffin. For more information, visit SactownSports.com as we have a conversation about Brock Purdy and exactly what it is that he is. 916-339-1140 on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get out to Scooter, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Scooter? You're on Styles and Watkins. Up? What you got for us?
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Not much.
So someone's got to clear this up. I don't understand how we can continue to say that Brock isn't doing all the things that he's doing at an elite level. Mm-hmm. I think even Niner fans will sit back and go, you know what, he's not an elite player. I'm a diehard Niner fan, and I know he's not an elite player. He's in year two. He's in year one and a half. Mm-hmm. He's not there yet. He's developing. But when you have a guy who's doing all the elite level things and putting together an elite level season, why is it so hard for everybody to just go, you know what? Dude is playing out of his mind. He's playing with elite level. He's putting out elite level performances, even though he's not at that level. Who cares who's got around him? I mean, the rhetoric is, are the agenda has always been, you know, guys like Lamar and Allen, who are those upper echelon quarterbacks. What are they doing? You know, everybody wants to talk about, the upper echelon or elite quarterbacks rise the talent around them to the next level. Neither one of those guys have done that. Neither one of those guys did that in the playoffs. They didn't do it late in the season. And because all of a sudden, you know, Brock had a bad game against Lamar, all of a sudden Brock's no longer in the conversation. I just don't understand how this guy, who's a wonderful story, mm-hmm. who should be celebrated as the story in and of itself, is putting together this season and gets nothing but hate. I just don't get it. Someone's got to make it make sense.
No, thanks you for know, the, I, yeah. Thanks for the call, Scooter, holding it down in the Sack Chat as always. But I think that's the question here, right? It's the line of most people can't compartmentalize, which is I think what Ryan Clark was attempting to say last week. He just is very dramatic and probably wanted clicks a little bit, and it ended up backfiring. Is the difference between playing at a high level, playing at a high level, versus being an elite quarterback? But to be fair, it is confusing. It is a confusing situation because if all you've done is play at a high level, besides a couple games, right? And Brock does get the hate word. I don't know, but I do think he gets unfair scrutiny, and I think it's because Niner fans say, hey, how can you play like this but not be that guy?
Right?
And I get it. I do get it. And it's, well, he's got this, he's got that. And that's why I have just been saying, hey, well, once you get to the playoffs, now we can't forget that at the beginning of the season, I think the Niners had the best odds to win the whole thing. They were definitely top two.
Yeah, definitely.
At worst, they were number two. But there's only really, here is the question. Is there really only one guy in Mahomes that it's the Mahomes and everybody else?
Absolutely.
Because I think that's really what this comes down to.
Yeah.
You can argue when it comes to Josh Allen, yes, he has all the tools on paper. You can argue Josh Allen. You can argue Lamar Jackson. Joe Burrow is, I think, a little bit confusing because that brother needs to stay on the field.
Sure.
But when he does,
he's tier one for sure, or whatever the tier
below
Mahomes.
I would put it a level below Mahomes.
Yeah.
Because look at Joe Burrow's weapons. Joe Burrow got a nice little weapon group over there too.
Does.
So you got Joe Burrow, and the question is, can you put Brock Purdy into that group?
I don't
that's a conversation.
So.
That's really the conversation I think we should have.
That's what I was trying to ask, and I just
I don't. If he wins the whole thing,
I don't think that matters.
It's tough.
I don't think that matters. I don't see why we can't separate like team from individual.
So he's in the if that's tier two, right?
Yeah, I would say I wrote down some names here.
Okay.
I would say Burrow, Lamar. I mean, I know people don't like to hear it, but Josh Allen is definitely in that second tier. And, you know, I think C.J. Stroud's fighting to be in that second. He definitely has not proven enough yet, but I think he's working towards it. And then I think that there's just kind of a really large, I don't know if we want, do we want, can we just put, we're just going to put Mahomes in tier one just so it's simpler so I don't have to say tier three. So I got Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, and Josh Allen in tier one.
No.
No?
No. I think it's Mahomes by himself.
Okay. Well, I also agree, but like I said, can we just for the
sake of, I don't have to say.
Yeah.
Sure.
So we're just going to have them in a separate tier. We'll just say that. I think that the problem is figuring out, and it could just be a fluid situation. But again, I have CJ Stroud. I think Trevor Lawrence as an individual, Justin Herbert as an individual. There's a lot of questions. Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, Kirk Cousins I threw in there, Dak Prescott. Jared Goff is probably at the bottom of the tier. Tua, where does Tua fall in all of this as well?
He's not falling.
He's at the bottom
he's
of the tier.
In.
But to me, that's like the second tier. And maybe, you know, it's Kyler, you could argue, maybe has been done bad by his situation.
Sure.
But
it wasn't too long
Kyler's
ago
in that second tier.
Kyler was in that conversation.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I just think it's a fluid situation of all of those guys. And I think everybody has a completely different ranking for, you know, where they would put Trevor Lawrence or especially Justin Herbert. And I think a lot of people just say Brock is at the top of that second tier. And I disagree as an individual, but I could see how you could say, here are all of these numbers, here how he's playing.
You just have no
choice.
There's
say?
No choice
yeah,
right now.
Absolutely. But that's, I don't understand. That's what my whole question was, is I don't understand why we can't have the nuance of this guy. We can acknowledge he is a good quarterback, not one of the best, but his numbers might say he is one of the best.
But it's almost as if, hey, we can put him here now. Why only for Brock is it we can put him here now because he's playing like it.
Yeah.
But if he stops playing like it, we'll drop him off. Wouldn't that be the same for everyone?
I think that kind of is for that second. I think that just is what the second tier is.
Yeah.
And at any given point, you can be at the top of that. You can be, and I would say again, I would say Brock probably has played better than, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert and Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott and Tua. I would say he's played better than all of those guys. But there were points this year in the regular season, granted, where we had Dak up there. Dak was the leader for MVP. Tua was looking real hot for a couple weeks there. I just think that that whole thing is super fluid, and maybe that's more the conversation. It's not a fun conversation, but I think really what it is there's just that upper tier of quarterbacks, and then there's this, you know, the middle class, I guess, or the upper middle class of quarterbacks is just a really fluid thing.
Yeah, and look, I'm not, like I said, I think we're on the same page as far as what the discussion is, right? Whether or not we agree or not.
Right.
As far as that top group, I would say it's the same idea. You can drop out of that. If Joe Burrow is, he gets injured next season or is just not in the mix, I'm kicking Joe Burrow out the club. Okay. I'm kicking Joe Burrow out the club. If Josh Allen loses when he loses again.
So then my question would be, where is Aaron Rodgers on this list?
I don't know. I got to see him play.
But you can't have him not in one of those teams. You can't have him say, you can't say Aaron Rodgers, just because I haven't seen him, is below Jared Goff in my quarterback rankings.
I'm not putting him under Jared Goff.
No, I'm just saying, but you got to put him somewhere. So where is Jared?
He can go in the top tier, and we see what he does next season.
Okay.
He only got about a season left anyway.
Hopefully less.
I mean, so
I'm hoping way less.
I don't really care about Aaron Rodgers at this point. Aaron Rodgers is old news.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm wondering how many people can you put in, like, how fluid is the list also? I mean, yeah, I think
It's season to season, I think. Like, to me.
Or is it almost month to month?
It could be. It depends. That's the MVP thing,
sure,
right?
Yes,
because everyone's like,
exactly.
Why did Purdy drop out of it? But that's just the MVP thing,
right?
It's about timing. It's about, you know, it's about the course of the season and when you get hot. Lamar got hot at the right time. Lamar beat the other MVP candidate, and that's how it works. So, and then Dak Prescott fell off too. So that's just how it happens. And now people are now doing, well, he should have won MVP. No. It's a regular season award. It's a flawed award, as we talk about all the time. But Lamar, they were cooking. They were supposed to beat the Chiefs. Mm. So because of that, that doesn't make Lamar less of an MVP. I do believe that Lamar should have won MVP. That just has nothing to do. MVPs in my rankings, I'm not putting somebody higher up because they won an MVP or not. I'm just judging it on what we've seen.
Right.
Totally. Right? So ultimately, I think that this whole thing is fluid. I think that it does matter. To be honest, rosters only matter if it's very obvious that you're like, what my problem with the roster situation is, it's a slippery slope, because now it becomes, if Brock wins a Super Bowl and McCaffrey runs for 200 yards and literally it's a bunch of screens and short passes, okay. But if it's what we saw in the second half yesterday, then that's a different cut. Then the roster, to me, now right. Somebody going to say, well, it's because they had to guard deep. It's just a slippery slope.
Right,
that's what
course.
It's getting to, yeah. To me. So I think that's why when you said, well, we can't just do it based on yesterday, it's almost more I don't know if it's more fair. It's maybe more fair to Purdy and maybe less fair to other players, right? Because yeah. They weren't in the situation.
Exactly.
So we'll never know. Got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation, going to talk a little bit of Kings as well as we discuss the injury report and the giveaway in 45 minutes. Don't want to miss that. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Continuing the conversation, where to put Brock Purdy. And look, things might change. You get that hardware, you get that ring. And I'll be honest with you, everybody, the names that get brought up, Trent Dilfer. I mean, do we need to go back and watch Trent Dilfer's path to a ring, right? Because I'll be honest, I didn't watch that game.
I literally think that would help. I know it'd be like torture, but Brad Johnson too, that's the name, ooh, right? The Tampa Bay guy.
Shout out Brad
he might
Johnson.
Be worse than Trent.
He yeah. definitely might be.
Trent was also a Niner too. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
But man, who's another, like Phil Sims? I know he got knocked out of one. I don't think he was that great.
If we're just talking about going, like Rex.
No, winning.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's winning, like Rex yeah. Grossman's definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Jared Goff went.
He went, yeah. No,
Phil Sims, I was saying, he got the backup, because that was the comparison everyone was making the year Foles had to win the Super Bowl for the Eagles against the Patriots, because Phil Sims was knocked out. I don't even remember which game it was, but they had the backup start and win, but partially because that defense was nasty for the Giants.
All right, here we go. It's time to play. Who are they a fan of? And it's a
where
tough day.
From?
We talked about how it's a tough day for Raiders fans who have to choose between rooting. You don't have to choose. You can try to be right there
neutral.
In the middle, be neutral. But here you go from the 209. Purdy tried with all his might to lose this game.
Okay.
He consistently makes bad decisions and bad overthrows, and this will cost him in the Super Bowl versus the Chiefs. The Chiefs will take full advantage of Purdy's mistakes. Stop.
All right. I got to say something about the bad decisions. Because he does.
He does.
He does make bad decisions sometimes, and they work out in his favor a decent amount of time. But that's, you take the good with the bad. I mean, Josh Allen makes bad decisions every other decision.
He sure does.
But the magic happens, and it works with him, but I mean, it only gets you so far. I just think Brock, I think everyone makes bad. Mahomes makes bad decisions, right, on throws. But that's just way too vague.
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, I completely agree. I think
Raider fan? Are we saying Raider
yes.
fan?
Text back in. I'm very curious. Maybe like a weird off team. Like
209, you a Raider fan?
I'm going to say a neutral supporter. Just sounds like somebody who's
like Rob Lowe with the NFL hat
on.
Yeah,
just the NFL hat. I feel like to Nate's point there, though, you know, you get the good with the bad. I mean, two of the biggest plays, in my opinion, from Brock yesterday was the third and four to Juwan Jennings across his body, middle of the field, mm-hmm. late. Every single quarterback coach will tell you, don't do that. Don't ever, even in your wildest dreams, do that. And it worked out. And the other one was if we'll call it an overthrow to Ayuk, and you get a massive play. So to Nate's point, yeah, you gotta kind of take the bad with the good, and sometimes the bad can lead to good.
I like taking the good with the bad.
Yeah, you know.
But here's the thing: when guys do that, most of the time, what do we say? We say, well, they can do it. Because they have that much talent. But Brock
his
Purdy,
arm talent is out of control.
But
yeah.
Brock Purdy, who doesn't have the arm talent, so we've been told.
Allegedly.
Is getting away with it. So what do we do with that?
I think it's just riskier. I mean, if anything, I would say that people would say that that makes it an even worse decision. Because you don't have the facilities for
that. But he hasn't gotten burned yet.
I think the word is yet. And we've seen him get burned for making bad decisions. And we've also seen him, frankly, again, get pretty lucky on some overthrows that have just been straight up dropped. And that's look throughout the entire season.
The first one in the first half when he tried to go to IU, that hit the guy.
What about the Baltimore game where he throws the pick in the red zone? Like, that was a bad decision. It was a bad read. Like, it happens. Yeah. It's not
a big deal.
That was
his only interception that game, you know?
The Baltimore? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was the only one that was his fault?
Right. That was the only one that counts. Yeah,
it was the only one that counts.
No, he didn't throw four.
I mean, I had people yesterday. Crazy. It was, oh, well, that guy, you know, ball was tipped on that interception, and people were like, that's not really on him.
Yeah.
No, he threw it.
It was.
We don't have to do this.
Ball
was
getting tipped all day by him, too, in the first half, not all day.
209, the 20, and maybe Brock made an adjustment there, or an adjustment was made somewhere, somehow.
He got cracked early in that game. Mm-hmm. Somebody came right down the middle, hit him right in the jaw.
Yeah, and I think he converted on that.
He did.
Yeah,
no,
he converted. Like, he's in there.
He did that his first game in against Miami.
Right.
He just, I mean, he's got moxie. He's tough.
He's
tough.
Got it.
And then, real quick, did you guys think that should have been a roughing the passer at the end of that one drive where they had to kick a field goal?
I mean, everyone says it would have been Mahomes. I will say Brock plays with integrity. Mahomes flops,
and
he cries.
A whiner.
Yeah, he cries.
It's so annoying.
Yeah, he cries a lot.
We didn't even talk about the pregame with him and Kelsey bullying Justin Tucker.
I saw, you're right.
So bad.
So first and by the way, the 209 responded, Whoever out there, if you guessed that the 209 was a Broncos fan.
Wow. See, I thought it was a random. I thought it was a random out of state.
You
guy.
Got it correct. Denver fan. This is from the 209. Denver fan.
Apparently, Broncos.
He just gets away with
Chiefs.
Too many mistakes.
Huh. Interesting.
Okay.
So I guess that Broncos fan is going for the Chiefs then.
I mean, he's got away with. Right. Who are you going for, Broncos fan? No, you'd have to root for the Niners.
I mean, he said. Doesn't he say in there that he's going for the Chiefs?
No, I think he's just saying the Chiefs
implication
will take full
might be
advantage.
The implication there he believes that.
But
the
you
Chiefs
know, and I win. and I look.
Start Sam Darnold.
The feeling that Brock Purdy gives you. I mean, how many times in the pocket with these great quarterbacks do you think you have them dead to rights? Whether it was a Tom Brady, you almost get to him. Whether it's a Mahomes, you almost get to him, and then you don't.
Yeah.
It's an it factor again. Very similar. I know Amy Trask. I don't think she was completely trolling, but that laser focus, ice in your veins, there is something that you can't quantify.
Absolutely.
That's a knack. Okay, people say that rebounding, you just have it or you don't. Kevin Love has it. Sabonis has it. Looney has it. James Wiseman did not have it. Okay, certain guys have it. Certain guys don't. And Brock has that knack. I don't call it Spidey senses. Is it Spidey senses to where he just, when he gets sacked, you're surprised. Can I say that? Are you surprised when Brock gets sacked?
No.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
Alan, I'm in the middle between you two there. And I'm the most biased one here. I mean, he is smaller. He's a smaller guy.
But he's slippery. He can,
I know he is.
He gets out of there.
I mean, and the O-line is not perfect. So I'm not always surprised. because he'll get collapsed in on. I'm more surprised
he's going to get sacked more.
I feel like we're starting to verge on Brock Purdy can do no wrong.
I'm not saying that, though.
Lamar, I'm shocked
by. He hasn't
by.
Gotten burned. When he gets burned and the Niners aren't playing anymore, I'm not going to argue about stuff that could happen when it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened.
You're saying Brock hasn't gotten sacked?
No, I'm saying that Brock, the way he's playing right now, he's just getting he's I don't know if he's getting away with it. I don't know like what I you said, want to call it. He's winning.
It's that Niners luck, man.
We love it. I don't know. I
almost got Nate to say.
No.
All right, got to get to a break. We got to get to
all
a break.
Skill.
When we get back, our three biggest reasons for the 49ers comeback. I know who's not in Chris's. Siles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
From the 916, Brock is the result of playing 4 years in college. I mean, there are a lot of guys that play 4 years and they don't play after.
Yeah.
Stetson Bennett played for like 50 years.
Yeah, right. Stetson should be the GOAT then.
Brandon Weeden.
In that case, Brandon Weeden. Who else played for a long time? The guy's coming out now, Bo Nix. Look out for Bo Nix.
I just saw a tweet that said there was a world before COVID where Jaden Daniels was throwing touchdown passes to Brandon Ayuk.
Interesting.
And there is a video. Jaden Daniels at ASU.
If I'm not mistaken, I think back then he went by JT Daniels when he was at ASU. If I'm not mistaken.
Can I kind of compare the NBA and NFL here?
Please.
Any players in the NBA that are top tier guys that played 3 years or more in the NBA? Because everyone is one or two. How many did Steph play? Two.
Steph played three, I believe.
That's who comes to mind immediately.
Draymond. I mean, I don't think we're putting Draymond at the top.
Top tier guys right now, like Luka, obviously doesn't count. He's playing pro ball.
Yeah, I think. I don't know how. I think Jimmy Butler might have played a couple years at Marquette.
It's just interesting, the amount of
Keegan
leeway.
Murray, you know?
By the way, Jaden Daniels never went by JT Daniels.
Okay.
What was the question? JT Daniels was for
Jaden. Steph Curry doesn't. He's one example, but NBA players that have spent three or more years in college and are top tier guys in the NBA. Because I feel like there's a decent amount of role players that
Steph was 2 years or three.
I don't know.
Steph was three.
Who is a guy right now who is developed in college and came to the NBA and is now a star?
I mean, could argue Tyrese Halliburton.
One and dones don't count.
Obviously.
What's the line? Two?
No,
or three.
Nate said three. Three or more.
Three's a long time.
Three is a long time. Yeah, it's just not common anymore.
No, I mean, it's almost like impossible. I think Donovan Mitchell even was 2 years. Steph might have been three. But even that, I'm just looking at the top scorers in the NBA. Jalen Brunson.
This is a different, I mean, obviously, I'm stating something everyone knows, but it's just a different mentality now.
It's Dame. Probably Dame.
Oh, Dame, yeah. Because, like, remember, like, Christian Laettner? Did you ever watch the 30 for 30?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, he did all four, but he was a star and then got drafted. Like,
that was before one and dones were a thing, too. Like, one and dones didn't exist at that point.
But he played four, didn't he?
He did, but I'm saying he probably wouldn't have played four. If that system was in place,
were one and dones not allowed then?
It just was very uncommon.
Frowned upon. Okay.
I think there was an age limit at that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I mean, it's definitely interesting. I mean, it's because in the NBA, it's almost like if you stay for any more than 1 year, it's like
there's a reason.
Well, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, what's the reason? And in the NFL, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. You know, just because you can come out as a junior or a redshirt sophomore, like, there's still reasons to stay, like getting bigger and, you know, maybe just adding more reps or adding something to your game. There's just a lot more reason to stay in college football.
Well, I
don't know about anymore.
Yeah, I think most of it is just
the physical nature of football, because
you got to get your body right. Yeah.
Right.
You can't
in basketball,
be 19 going against 35 year old grown linemen.
That's just not safe. In basketball, there are specific skills. You need to be a better shooter. You need to work on your left hand, things like that. In football, I mean, if everybody says there's such a big gap between college and NFL anyway, you would think that getting into the NFL as quickly as possible should help. Right. And if you're willing to take guys and sit them just because it even helps just to watch, then why would you stay? It just feels like there is less things that you can specifically work on in college football than there is in college basketball.
Because it's so team oriented, too.
Because it's so like team oriented. You know,
size,
the speed. And really, it's the speed, the size is so different. You know, I mean, we were talking to Asante Cleveland, and he did say that the biggest difference he saw was from high school. You have to go to college, but I do think from high school to college is a jump. And actually, Asante kind of said the opposite. He said that it was very similar to college, but they were all just about their business.
Right.
It was nobody messing around.
Everybody's smart.
Everybody's about their business trying to get it done. And if not, you're just a freak of the freak athletes, and you end up tricking it off eventually, like some of these guys that we've seen trick it off. But yeah, I don't know that Brock staying, a guy like Brock, maybe it helps a guy like Brock because of his ceiling, and his ceiling wasn't going to get any higher.
Oh, absolutely.
So learning everything he can help, but certain guys like an Anthony Richardson or whoever, just get onto the NFL so we can just we can just put the skill set with the speed that's out there. That's how I see it.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much what it is. I don't think there's really much benefit to, you know, especially with Brock. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that you're wrong, that the Texer is wrong. I definitely think the 4 years definitely helped him, but there was also, I mean, if Brock stayed 4 years and was the last pick after 4 years, something tells me after 3 years, he wouldn't have even been remotely considered.
Yeah, that's a great point. Okay, the three biggest reasons you have here, Chris.
Yes.
For the 49ers comeback.
Yes. Let me know what you think here. I don't know if I want to rank these in any particular order, but these just to me felt like, you know, the three biggest reasons. And, you know, maybe I will rank them, because number one to me is absolutely forget what, you know, what Brock did. We'll talk about that. What the defense did. The fact that Dan Campbell allowed the Niners to be in that game by his fourth down decisions. I mean, that's the Niners don't even have a chance if Dan Campbell just – you want to talk about game managers. If he just manages that game correctly, the Niners don't have enough possessions to make a comeback. If he capitalizes on if he goes for it on that before the second half, and then if he kicks it instead in the second half, who knows if that game is even in the balance. The decision to run the ball on third and goal, just all of it, really, really head-scratching decisions from Dan Campbell. And he gave the Niners he opened the door for him. The Niners had to bust it open, but Dan Campbell definitely left that door creaked for the Niners to come through. Number two, I've got Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Because his second-half stats are absolutely insane. What is this? This is from OptiStats here. In the second half, Brock threw for 150-plus yards, rushed for 45-plus yards, completed 80% of his passes, and averaged 10 yards per rush while doing it with no turnovers. No other quarterback in NFL history in the last 30 years has done that in a single half, regular season or postseason. I mean, it was... To me, the legs were the thing that really just, I mean, it set him over the top. Like, for him to be the dual threat there, I know we do prop talk. I can't wait to see what Brock Purdy's rush yards are going to be.
I hit on that.
For the Super Bowl. Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was at like seven.
It was at seven.
It was something crazy.
It will not
low.
Be at seven in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. I can't wait.
Yeah.
You should definitely hammer the under there. But Brock was ridiculous in that second half and obviously was a massive, massive reason for the comeback. And then third, I have Nick Bosa. We talked about it with Emil, but him getting two sacks, and one of those was incredibly clutch. Like I said, it took them out of field goal range. I think that was when Dan Campbell decided to not go for it, or I'm sorry, to not go for the field goal, that 48-yarder. I believe Bosa put them back at the around the 50-yard line. and really threw off that drive because, again, if the Lions score there, the game is pretty much over. So that was a huge, huge sack from Bosa and just him getting to the quarterback in general. For that defensive line to be present was a welcome sight for the Niners, I'm sure.
There's not a better situation to be in for the Niners because you won a certain way all season, and then you won in a completely different way these last two games. And really, if you're the Chiefs, obviously you're going to think, okay, well, the Niners are never going to be out of this thing. I don't think the Chiefs have the offensive horses to be up that much anyway. I wouldn't prescribe the Niners get in that situation. Yeah. But you see the Niners win all these different ways. That comeback was incredible. I think I'm right there with you. I don't know about Nick Bosa. I understand your reasoning for it. And I'm not really sure who would be number three.
There's a lot of
options. There's a lot of different options. But it could be Ayuk, right? If they don't, if they kick another field goal there, maybe things are a bit different. But, yeah, I think that the Niners knowing that they're never out of a game, like literally ever – you just can't be in a better situation going off into the Super Bowl because you got somebody who is really that dude waiting for you on the other side. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, continue the conversation, getting back into the Kings. Oh, yeah, they played this weekend. They got a W as well, taking on the severely shorthanded Grizzlies, and hopefully they can get another W. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
The Kings look to continue their winning ways as they head off to Memphis, who they destroy on New Year's Eve, and they were fully loaded. And as we know with the Kings, maybe it was a safer situation when they were fully loaded, but they are not the Grizzlies. As we discussed their injury report, and basically you got to look for guys that aren't injured versus or who are healthy versus who aren't, because that's how many dudes they have on the injury list today. Kings got to take care of business as this is their longest road trip, and they are hoping to take advantage of this situation. After this, you know, you got to continue on, and hopefully this might be the – I mean, Chris, just looking at the rest of their trip, and I know Tyrese Halliburton is hoping to play Tuesday, I read. Look, man, you keep on having to go back because you keep coming back too soon. So he's going to try to play tomorrow night, Tyrese Halliburton. But Grizzlies, you take care of business today, and then this is where things can get a little tough. You have the Heat in Miami who haven't been playing well, so they're a little bit desperate, which makes them a little scary. Then you have the Pacers who it's possible Halliburton is there by then, as we know and we saw firsthand in Sacramento. Doesn't really matter if he plays or not. And then you head to Chicago, who there still hasn't been a deal done in Chicago. So that team, they've kind of been scrappy as they've kind of battled through trade rumors. So you see what's up there, and then you have Chris's favorite player, Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to head to Cleveland.
We'll shoot him out of that.
So you can really turn this thing around, and as we continue to talk about not just this road trip, because when you get back, you get a break against the Pistons, who you were down 20-plus in the first quarter.
I know.
Then you start the Nugget extravaganza, where you have the Nuggets on February 9th, at Thunder February 11th, at Suns February 13th, at Nuggets February 14th. So that's another reason that, if you look at those next four games besides, you know, those four games after the Pistons game on February 7th, another reason to, this is the longest road trip. But the more you look at that, Chris, the more this kind of needs to be a 5-2 instead of a 4-3.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's more just like, you got to take care of business here because it's going to get a lot more difficult. And even though these still aren't easy matchups, to your point, I mean, you've started off the road trip 2-0. You got an easy Memphis game tonight. Take advantage of that. Go 3-0. And then what are we talking about? It's just going the rest of the four games, try and split them. That's all that you got to do. And it's not going to be easy. I definitely think Miami's going to be tough, like you said. I think Indiana's going to be tough, like you said. But this Kings team, I mean, this is the hand that they're dealt. Is you know, this is an easier stretch. You know, this, even though it might not look like it, you got to take care of business. And they've been lucky that, you know, while they haven't played here, they've had these huge gaps in between games. All the teams around them have completely tanked. The Suns have lost a couple games. Kings beat the Mavericks. The Mavericks have lost a couple games without Kyrie. Everybody around them has just completely fallen and give the Kings the fifth seed yet again. And it would be a great opportunity for them to separate them, or not separate themselves, but create a little bit of cushion. Mm-hmm. And maybe, just maybe, you can start to creep into that upper tier of teams. Of course, you'll still be on the outside looking in, but it's a lot better to be on the bottom half of those Denver, OKC, Minnesota, and the Clippers as well, than to be at the top half of the other group. It just feels like if you can be close to that upper tier of teams, and then who knows what happens at the deadline, to me, that's how this team can maybe surprise. I know we said 2 weeks ago that we feel like this team, it's going to be really tough for them to be better than a 4 or 5 seed. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the only way that they could elevate and go up into the 3 seed, is if they start picking up some games here and then make a move, hopefully. I mean, the deadline is February 7th, right before that 4-game trip or the 4-game stint that you talk about there. At that point, hopefully you got an influx of talent and maybe, you know, you can be a better team.
Another
different expectations.
Another Harrison Barnes, good game.
I don't know how many more I can bank on at this point.
But my question
feels
is,
like we're playing with house money.
But my question is, you're talking about bringing in talent. Is Harrison Barnes, I wouldn't say off your board, but are you looking to make a move that doesn't involve Harrison Barnes at this point?
I think you still gotta throw him out there. I still think he's the Kings' best trade asset that's not Keegan or Malik Monk. And if they're willing to throw those guys in, then maybe it's a different conversation. But no, I think that you still have to shop HB, because you still gotta get better. I still think HB's got a place. He's got a place on this roster. I don't think he's gotta be dealt. I think if you can try and find a nice forward to put him next to, if you could chip off Kevin Huerter and Davion Mitchell maybe instead and still get a quality player, I think it's fine. But I'm still a little bit hesitant to bake on this being Harrison Barnes. Of course, he's not going to average 30 points per game the rest of the season. But, you know, I'm just hoping, can we get a double digit continuing for Harrison Barnes? I don't even know if I'm willing to bet on that. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like you've seen some good games from him. It's been great. The Kings have played great in it. I think you should cut your losses. I think you should just say, you know, it's you're playing great for us right now, but I don't think we can bank on this the rest of this year.
Yeah, I mean, you're at the third game in a row where Harrison has balled out. Maybe his value has inched a little bit,
yes,
right?
Yes,
and if
yes.
it has, you if you're the Kings, no, look, we haven't seen a lot of this, but if other teams think that that's what they're getting, and maybe it is.
Hey, national TV?
National TV.
Okay.
Hey, maybe it is good for them, but I don't know that the Kings can. If nothing has changed, then I don't think you force a move.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
As far as his value. But if it has changed, you couldn't ask for a better situation.
Yep.
You know what this reminds me of? And I don't know why I'm looking over at Nate as if he watches this or not. HGTV, there is a show.
Shout out.
And the show is called, and call in if you've watched this show or text line Sack Chat. It's called Love It or List It.
Okay.
Okay,
would not have pegged you as a Love It or List It guy.
It's on sometimes.
It's great. No, it's great.
It's under House Hunters for me, but I'll watch it if I need to, right?
That's fair. That's very
I like
fair.
It better than the other renovation shows. And Love It or List It,
they
essentially.
They always end up loving it, too. Also,
so basically, yes.
With the show.
So basically, it's a house that they are trying to move out of. They come in, right? The renovators, they come in, they fix up the house, mm-hmm. the value drives up, and meanwhile, they look at other houses. And at the end, they make the decision, hey, do you love it? Do you change your mind and now you want to stay? Or do you want to list it? That's essentially what's happening
Absolutely.
With Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Okay. The renovation has happened these last three games. Mm-hmm. Do you love it or do you still want to list it?
Yeah.
916-339-1140. Harrison Barnes, love it or list it.
And I'm telling you, they always love it. They're always like, oh, my God. Yeah. We always talked about that being the room for the kids.
I wanted an island. Yeah. I wanted an island. There you go.
And
you
this got is your... I wanted a 6'8 small forward.
Yes.
This is what I always wanted.
You're 6'8". Your granite countertop, the new sink, you fixed the patio in the backyard. Love it or list it. Harrison Barnes edition. Got to get to a break when we get back. Giveaway for Eddie Griffin tickets coming up. Don't want to miss that. And we'll discuss Kyle Shanahan. Do you look at him any differently because of what he's done in this postseason? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.